GE, for example, is one of the six big, and they bought, NBC. And once during a downturn in the stock market, shortly after GE had bought NBC, Jack Welch, the celebrated head of General Electric, who's in a little bit of trouble now with some high cuisine on bookkeeping, called the head of ABC News and said, "I hope NBC News will not have anything tonight that might depress GE stock." Well, of course, incidentally, GE sells nuclear reactors. Don't wait, don't hold your breath waiting for NBC to have a documentary on the problems of nuclear reactor safety. And so there we have much of this conflict of interest. And so what do we have now? We have Limbaugh, who is still very high, partly because he's a superb entertainer. He has rhythm. He knows how to sound winning, and he has a very simple kind of point of view. And he also is not burdened by the difference between reality and fantasy. For years, he broadcast that Hillary Clinton murdered Vincent Foster. That's a serious accusation. Now, under the fairness doctrine, Hillary Clinton could have responded. This is when she was the first lady. But, of course, she wouldn't. No politician is going to extend that sort of thing and continue to make it an issue. But somebody else could have. Limbaugh also, let me read you one thing, just that Limbaugh said. This is an actual quotation of one of his broadcasts. "Now, I got something for you that's true. 1972, Tufts University, Boston. This is 24 years ago or 22 years ago. 3-year study of 5,000 co-eds. And they used a benchmark of bra size of 34C. They found that, now wait, it's true, the larger the bra size, the smaller the IQ." Tufts University went immediately through all of its research records and found no such study. They did a review of all of the academic and scientific journals that might have carried anything like that. And the president of Tufts said, "There's nothing to that. There was never any such study, nor have we been able to find a study by anybody else in any other university that found that." So it's totally a matter, to put it a more kindly word, of fantasy. Some women's group suggested that some males, on seeing large-breasted women, have a severe drop of IQ. But that's a kind of humorous example of how crazy this is, but it's nothing funny about it because he also accuses people of serious things like murder. Nothing can be done about it. As long as he has the audience, nobody can do anything to him. Or at least they don't. So what do we have now? We have Limbaugh, who still is very big. G. Gordon Liddy. Do you remember G. Gordon Liddy from Iran-Contra and the Watergate? And during the Watergate time, he suggested that, among many other things, that they murdered Drew Pearson because he had criticized Ronald Reagan. President Nixon. And Oliver North has a very big radio program. And so the result has been, I think, over the years, a shifting of the American political spectrum. Those of you who voted in 1950 or 1940 and 1960 can remember when there was something on the right that was called the nutty right. I mean, these were people who who believed that people from outer space came down and pulled the levers for democratic voting machines, and people who just were laughed at, or who had such reactionary ideas that it struck everybody as ridiculous. So that was on the far right. On the far left, there were people who were Marxists, progressives, and so forth. But then there was a very large center group that was liberal. I mean, these were the years when Democrats really dominated politics, and that liberals didn't have to apologize for being liberal or having liberal ideas, and that was the center. And then it went out in various stages to the far left and the far right. I think that spectrum has now shifted in a way so far to the right that the progressive left has fallen off the radar of what appears in American mass media, and that the right is now at the center. But we no longer see it as the right. We always think of it as the center. And that has happened over these 40 or 50 years. And I think that's a profound change in the nature of our society and the nature of our politics. And what I want to just impress is that the media and the control of the media are at a major part of this very profound shift in American politics, because media power is political power. The way politicians are seen and heard by the American voter is through the media, or even worse for the politicians, not seen in the media. And therefore, while every big corporation has influence in Washington, far more influence than is healthy for our society, media corporations have something that even General Motors doesn't have. They control the image of politicians and candidates. So media power is political power. And so it had got to the point that when the Gingrich Revolution came in 1994, before that new freshman group were sworn in, but between the time of the election when Gingrich was the most powerful politician in the United States, they had a private meeting to which the press was excluded, in which they brought in corporate chiefs, including the media, and said, and according to the Wall Street Journal, what do you want? So the big media told them what they wanted. And what they got was the 1996 Telecommunications Act, which took away much of the power of individuals and citizen groups to have a voice in broadcasting, and permitted huge conglomerations that had never been permitted before of radio and television. And the result is that we now have what in effect is almost a single broadcasting system. Now, that doesn't mean that Terminator 3 or Law and Order is the same as some other competing show, but they are of the same genre. Sex and violence dominates all. It dominates it because it's an attention getter. It dominates it because if you have enough sex and violence, you don't need skilled screenwriters. I mean, a blown-up warehouse is a blown-up warehouse. A car chase is a car chase. And one of the executives of filmmakers, a big filmmaker, said, 50% of our network shows are exported to foreign countries. And that's where they do get half their profits. And if you have a film with nuanced conversation, that makes for a serious uh, problem of translation into the many languages of the countries to whom we export these programs. But a shot with a pistol to the head needs no translation. Ergo, lots of violence, and then lots of sex. You don't need James Joyce to describe what's going on between the sheets when there's a lot of activity. And so the result has been that these corporations, but the media corporations in particular, pretty much decide what we will hear and see and what the Congress will do about it, if anything. To me, it's frightening to think of what power that has. One of the excuses that was used when they began deregulating broadcasting and beginning to wipe out the voice of communities on what was going to happen on their local stations. You know, it's required if you get a license, with very few exceptions, that you have to have a studio and transmitting facilities in the city in which you're going to operate, the market in which you're going to operate. And we have them in every community. And yet, what do you get? You don't get community things for the most part. What you get are uniform, standardized national broadcasts, because they can go to every city and they can be replicated over and over again, because it's not attached to any particular city. You don't hear anything about on the major broadcasts and television news about your problems in your community, even though the stations are located in your community. Once I was on one of these national talk shows, and the host said, "Now, don't mention the weather, don't mention the name of the city we were in, or the day of the week, because this is going to 800 state radio stations, and we want every person listening in their city to think it originates in that city."
You're listening to Ben Bagdikian, former reporter and former dean of the Graduate School of Journalism at the University of California at Berkeley. He spoke in Pasadena on November 15, 2002 at Troop Memorial Unitarian Church at an event organized by the Democratic Media Legal Project. That's a joint project of the Unitarian Universalists for a Just Economic Community and the Cultural Environment Movement, working with attorneys from the National Lawyers Guild and the National Coalition of Concerned Legal Professionals, in conjunction with the Media Alliance of San Francisco. They are planning to file a groundbreaking legal case to challenge the broadcasting monopoly. To find out more about their lawsuit and how you can get involved, you can call 415-387-9190 or email bmlp@itc.org. You can also find them online at www.medialegalproject.org. You're listening to Radio IMC LA, a joint project of the Los Angeles Independent Media Center and Kill Radio. The LA IMC is online at www.la.indymedia.org. That's la.indymedia.org. And Kill Radio is at www.killradio.org. And now, back to Ben Bagdikian.